20e édition du Festival des droits humains et du Forum, 20e édition à Genève, au Théâtre Pitaïev, avec Winnie Duchambé. Good evening.
English.
Yes, English it is. Good afternoon.
Like, I didn't get what you were saying.
I just said we are in the festival.
Okay.
And you are here in the festival, but we discovered you, your action in Uganda through the film Bigger Than Us, by Flor Vassar, which was presented during Film Festival of Cannes.
Yeah.
And I was amazed what you did, because you were married very young.
Not young.
Yeah. And you decided to show people there is a way to have a proper life and to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about your action, please?
So my name is Vinit Shebe from Youth Initiative for Community Empowerment Uganda, and I'm a co-founder. My action of showing people that there is always a way where you think there is no way comes from when I was still a child. I grew up with a single mother, and life was not easy at all. We faced these challenges of missing meals, and the meals we could get were not nutritious. Our mother could invest much in agriculture, but the yields, the returns were too minimal, so we suffered. We could miss classes, we could miss meals, we could go in class on an empty stomach. We could suffer in all ways. So I promised myself that when I grow up and I get the opportunity of helping the generations to come not to suffer the way I did, I will do it wholeheartedly. So in my going to school, things were not easy. I could move miles and miles to reach school, and the books were not always there. You could go in class, you sit, you just consider your head to be everything because you have nothing tried in. But when I fought so hard and completed my education with a degree in adult and community education, it gave me, like, it was like an opportunity to me, because it trained me on how to enter community, how to face people, and how to learn to behave the way other people are behaving. For example, if I find someone who is on an empty stomach, I can just imagine how he or she is feeling, and then I feel the pain, and that gives me a quick thinking of how to solve the problem if I happen to get a chance. So in so doing, I have identified many people suffering. That's when we were starting the organization, we encouraged people to do these fertilizers and chemicals to spray. But in some 3 years to come, we saw our people could no longer buy the fertilizers, could never have the yields the way they are expecting them. For example, you're incurring maybe in Ugandan shillings, for example, it's like you're incurring 500,000, and then your returns are 800,000. Like, the difference is not entertaining, that it cannot give you hope to do agriculture again. So we thought of regenerating the soils, and regeneration became a way to everyone, and it has done wonders. For example, in the refugee communities where we work, we have trained these people in skills of regenerative farming, where we give them trainings on regenerating the soils, encouraging biodiversity, climate change, how can you adapt to climate change, and these permaculture skills, planting of the three sisters, like you're planting crops, you intercrop them. It is also a way of repelling. For example, if I plant onions, intercropped with the skuma witch or beetroot or any other like beans, the scent from the onion will repel the
insects.
The insects that would have affected your beans. So it's like the essence.
Mm.
That has helped very many. We do not encourage this spraying of chemicals in the regenerative farming. So we are producing the crops that are healthy to our lives, and we are saving the nature. The soils are no longer being affected if we're doing this. In the trainings we give to these people, there is also how to make the organic fertilizers from home. Like you're using the local available materials to make your fertilizers. There, you're not incurring any cost because you're using the weed, and then you're yielding.
It's a kind of cycle.
Yeah, everything is of a good use. Mm. That's why I feel like I should do this more and more till everyone can identify the importance of doing regenerative farming than relying always on growing our crops using the chemicals.
Can you tell us about the situation of Uganda? Because we know about Monsanto and the Groundup project.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mess all over the world. In north of Argentina, the rivers are completely polluted. And the children, the women who give birth to deformed children.
Mm.
How is it in Uganda?
In Uganda, I will not say they are giving birth to deformed, but they are malnourished. And if we don't wake up now, we are yet to have also those that are missing out some parts. Because, for example, we are working in a refugee community called Nachivari, where people are really suffering. They are relying on food aids every time. But when we introduced this regenerative farming to them, it is 6 months back, the target was in 12 months to have a number of 200 households trained. But people have admired the project. They have run to attend to the project because they are seeing that those that started in the trend have benefited. They've started selling some of the goods, and we are now like helping on those that were giving food aids to these communities.
Mm.
And we have to wake up because many people have run out of agriculture. For example, if it's Uganda, basically, people are running out of agriculture, not because they don't want to do agriculture, but because of the increasing rates of, like, the increasing rates in the buying of the farm products.
Mm.
For example, like, you're incurring much costs on buying the fertilizers. You have to have fertilizers, you have to be with chemicals, the pesticides, you have to buy the beans, like the plants, even the hoes that choose to use in the garden, they are all taxed high. So like people can no longer survive. So with the time, if things go this way, we will reach a time that we cannot have 2 meals in a day.
Mm.
To someone who has undergone this, that having 1 meal in a day is bad, I don't wish it to anyone else. That's why I call upon everyone to wake up, even those in political, like in leadership, they should wake up, because if they are not suffering it now, because they are having money they can buy, their children are going to suffer the most.
Mm.
And their grants will suffer the most. And the worst will come to its worst, that they will sleep on empty stomachs, yet they have to wake up tomorrow and think of how to get what to eat. That life is not good at all.
Mm.
We should all react.
You were mentioning the leadership, the government.
Yes.
What about the government? Do you get now support? Because you started on your own with your action. But do you get any help now from government?
From the government, because this thing is for a young activist, like we young people, we are not so much considered like that we can put a change in the community. So because we are disrespected, should I say, like we are not considered being valuable, like the ideas we're having, they think they are premature. That's why we are not getting all that. We are not getting to the expectations. Fine, when they get, like, the bad thing, should I say, in this trend, people are looking at who they know instead of looking for someone who is doing the real thing. For example, because I write a good proposal and you do not go for this monitoring to see where I invested your money, where is it going, and what is the impact of your funds,
yeah,
has also been a challenge. For example, you give $10 million to me and you do not make a follow-up, like because you want to get something like to celebrate, I've helped Winnie with $10 million, and you do not make a follow-up to see where your money is, has affected still much. It has affected many people that are doing work, because some people are having funds, but they are not reaching the ground. They are not reaching the grassroots to see what exactly is being done at the ground. If we can all do this, if you invest in a business, like if you fund a project and you do the monitoring of it, and at least once you reach the ground to see where you're investing, it will also help, because there you will be able to identify that so-and-so is doing something and so-and-so was just making money.
At the beginning of the interview, you were mentioning the refugees in Uganda.
Yes.
I've read that Uganda is the country receiving most refugees in Africa.
Yeah.
Where are they from?
These refugees are coming from different countries. For example, in Nachivali, we're having people from Congo, people from Burundi.
Kivu?
North Burundi. People from Rwanda and South Sudan, and Sudan still, yeah. So basically those are the people that are in that settlement.
So you're trying to give them the way to be independent?
Yes.
To reach the possibility to access food and to be autonomous?
Yes, this is because, like, even the aid, like when you enter a refugee settlement in Uganda, there is a time when you're given a piece of land where to put a small house for yourself, and then you're given another piece of land where you should carry out agriculture. But because people, like you are a refugee, you have no money, they've just gone to cut down the trees, to burn charcoal and earn a living. Our idea is, if we come and we train these people on how to use the small piece of land to be productive, you intercrop so that you can get different varieties of food. When you yield, when you get this small food from the food aids, you add on what you have, you can really solve that problem. And I've seen people that have started selling. We also consider those that are internally displaced. The group we started with was from Uganda still, but they were displaced because of, I think, oil. And they were brought to a new community, a new environment where you don't know one. So it was also, life was not good at their side. But with the time, after getting these trainings, daily trainings, we could do monitoring, we could encourage them every day, we could pass by to help. To these people adopted to the learning, they started selling and earn a daily income. For example, if you're having your vegetables around your home, you grow them in these old troughs, you grow them on the verandas, like you're having the vegetables, you sell to a neighbor who didn't grow, and then you get some shillings to buy books for the children.
And since you started your action, could you tell us about the goals you could reach?
When I started, I wanted to see that everyone, like we change, we impact the community. Basing on our organization, the goal of our intervention is threefolded. Where we look at food, securing food, like having food security. If a household is having enough food, that was a goal, and we've seen that being achieved to some extent. And also we wanted these people to see they are looking at the biodiversity and adapting to climate change, and I've seen this. Yes, and improved, another thing was improved incomes. And this is done through selling off the vegetables, the crops, not only the vegetables, but the crops. When someone sells the crops and earns that money, helps that person to do these daily activities at home, like paying for the bills, the medical bills, the school fees, and other things in life.
For instance, you mentioned several times the warming of the planet, the change of climate. And here, for instance, the winter are normally very cold, but it's no more. It's very warm. Spring is coming very early. What about Uganda? What changes can you notice about the climate?
About the climate, the seasons changed.
As
because
well.
Because of this, for example, the cutting of trees, when we are not replanting, the soils are now left bare. They are now left to the agents of erosion. If it rains, all the topsoil is washed away. If it's too much sunshine, we overstep on it. Like, it is bare. It is vulnerable, I should say. Like, they've cut down the trees, then the rainfall, what will help in rainfall formation? They've burnt the bush. So they are disorganizing everything, and the seasons have changed. Like, we cannot now predict. When I was still young, we could predict that every February we are planting. In the mid of the year, we are harvesting. But now, we just wait, and God does His will. That is what I've identified in Uganda. Everywhere the seasons changed because of the climate change actions that are rampant. They've destroyed the swamps. They are constructing factories in the swamps. For what?
Money.
Money. But you're looking for money that is going to help you, but you're not thinking of the generations to come.
Future.
What of your children? How are they going to live the world with this disorganized, everything is in a mess?
Mm.
The swamps are no longer there, the rivers are being tampered with, the trees are being cut, even the forests that would have been for attraction, for tourism, have been cut down in silence. And the rules are not being put into action. For example, you're like, we will penalize whoever is found in swamp reclamation. And because you identify that who is doing this, and you identify is, should I say, a big person, for example, in the government, maybe is related to big people in the community, and you keep quiet. You pay a death fee.
To denounce.
Yeah.
Is it?
They fail to open up. So we are being tortured psychologically. Because even if you report, to whom will you report? Yet they already identified and they reacted. Like, they didn't react.
Mm.
That is really hectic. And it's like bothering those people that feel like coming out to fight against this. Even they should put these, the rules set, the laws set, to be active. We do not want those rules in books. The laws in books do not help.
Are you trying to get these laws applicated through your action? Can you do it?
For us, we are sensitizing the community. For example, if you can identify something that is
not correct,
that is not correct, you should raise up. What we think is, if I do this, if I react, and someone in another community does the same, and like we bring in this joint effort, I think these authorities will wake up from the deep sleep they are in to help and save the world.
And this is part of your project, I guess. Could you tell us about the other projects you've got with your action? With your action in Uganda, do you have any other projects? Because I guess you want to go on doing things for your country.
Yes, another thing is, instead of, Like, for example, we are training people in skills like, how should I say it, the hands-on trainings. For example, if it's making liquid soap, these simple skills that can help us to have a next day, we should give them. For example, in our organization, we trained people in liquid soap making.
Mm.
And now some of them have made it a business.
Mm.
So it's like it gives me joy and happiness to see that someone can earn a living from these trainings. So if we can do it to everyone, even if they are not selling. But have you ever been in a situation where you have to wash your clothes but you lack soap?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having the skills and you can put them into practice, you make your own soap at home, you make the recycling to those that can access, because we also trained them in recycling of this. For example, if you go in these big hotels, they use soap for once and dump it. So for us, we go, collect this used soap, we recycle it, we make big bar soap, and help these people wash the clothes in a normal way. Wash their hands with the soap. Yeah, like we want to save these people, especially these people at the grassroots. I don't think of these people that are in the middle class. But in Uganda, we are having that big gap between those that are having money and those at the grassroots. It cannot be bridged in one day.
Mm.
It needs
time.
And who is to create, and that time, it should not, and after us being with time, still we need people to take action. We should wake up, all of us should wake up. For example, if Wynne wakes up from Kasanda district, and maybe Juliet is in another district, and someone is in another district, like it could be a joint effort to help sensitize the community on how they can survive. People at the grassroots are suffering. They do not want information on printed papers. Some of them are illiterate.
Mm.
We should put things into action.
Concrete.
Like, yeah, if it's doing things, they should not be on paper.
Mm.
In Uganda, one thing I know, I don't know whether people have identified it, but those in Uganda know. If you want to hide any information from us, put it into writing. I can keep the book with that information.
Mm. Nobody can read.
Even if those that are having the skills of reading, like it's not a hobby in Uganda. So those so printed information put in books do not work in Uganda. We should put things into action. We should train people hands-on. Trainings should be hands-on. If it's agriculture, one thing I should tell my country, that if it's agriculture, I know agriculture is the backbone of Uganda. We should make agriculture compulsory from primary school. And we should train in the regenerative way of farming, not this way of spraying. Because if someone starts from childhood knowing the importance of farming and the good ways of doing this thing, it will really bring back the morale of doing this thing. Because, like, for example, people of my age they hate farming because maybe they suffered the same way I did and they didn't get the spirit that I have of helping, of maybe not wanting my fellows to go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we have to help. Like, we should wake up. The only thing I should tell everyone is to wake up. And if you see something bad that is polluting the environment, that is causing climate change, please take action there and then.
You're here to take action as well because you're meeting a lot of people. There's a lot of noise around us. Are you happy to be in this festival in Switzerland?
I'm the most happy person today because I know I'm not going to be, like, this information will reach even where I will not reach.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it will reach people, it could reach even in the state house, it could reach even in the people at the grassroots. People might hear this loud voice and help. To everyone who can help, please do in your ability. If it's funding, you fund projects that are doing this real thing. If it's sensitizing, yeah, go sensitize people at the grassroots, like at you reach the base. If it is using social media, we're having those people that are like social media is part of them. Please use the social media the right way. You sensitize the community through, like you sensitize your community, because we should have different communities. Mm-hmm. I could be good at going in the field. Someone is busy in office and is good at having this internet, is roaming 24/7. So you should use that internet to be productive, to serve the world, to serve your children's future. Because you could be in the office with an AC, with food every meal, you're having even those other companions, but you don't know what your child is going to go through if you do not wake up today.
And how could we help us? Could you give us the information about your wives, the association?
Sorry?
Could you tell us about the association? How can we help us?
How?
Can we help us? Could you give us the website? Or?
If you want to contact us, we're having a website where we put everything. And on our website, it's www.yiceyugi.org.
Okay, I will write it as well in the article. Thank you so much for giving us your time, and enjoy your stay here in Switzerland, Winnie. Thank you.
Thank you.